Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com.
For automatic reminders about this radio show and other great survivor events,
sign up now for TBISN.org.
When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He is talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBILaw.com or call 800-992-9447.
And now, it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show. Hello, friends out there in Radio Land. As you heard, this is Brain Injury Radio, and you might be surprised and feeling like I am, deja vu. I was just here last night. Tonight is normally the Fantastic Frank show, and I apologize for those of you that were looking forward to his show tonight, but Frank has been on a whirlwind tour on his way to becoming famous. They've had him running all over the country, where he's done TV spots, radio interviews, talks, and all kinds of things about his book and his enterprises, and we wish him a lot of luck with that. He's not going to be around the next month coming into the holidays, kind of like I was, the end of 2011. I was really busy hoping to get some sales in for the holiday season, so I imagine that's what they're doing with him, too. So I'm going to be pinch-hitting tonight, and we're going to do a variety of things, actually. We might even get some surprise guests, which would be any of you that would decide to dial in to 424-243-9540. What I've been doing, well, first of all, let's see, I'm going to take care of some housekeeping like I normally do since I'm doing this show tonight. I'd like to thank my Recovery Now sponsor, Lash Publishing. They can be found at lapublishing.org. And you'll notice that what they publish is all about brain injury, whether it's survivor stories or texts for professionals. Everything they do is for the benefit of education and advocacy about brain injury. Tonight I'm going to read a blog, and I'll get to that just a little bit later, but in the meantime, I'd like to tell you that the new edition, the fall edition of Brain Injury Journey, their magazine, just came out. And if you haven't heard me say this before, it's just a wonderful magazine that was launched back in April. It comes out 6 times a year. And if you go to lapublishing.com, look on the left side up toward the top. It says Brain Injury Journey Magazine. Click on that. It will take you to a page where you can purchase a subscription for the real paper magazine to be sent to your home, or if you scroll down just a little bit, it says free, can't beat the price, online version of the magazine. They also make their past issues available to you, and I strongly encourage you to sign up for the free magazine at Brain Injury Journey. There's just so many great articles, not only for survivors, but for caregivers as well. They even have continuing education type classes for professionals on concussions, which is something I noticed that the CDC is doing now in cooperation with the NFL. Isn't that funny? In any case, do check out LA Publishing. Barbara Sahara is going to be my guest next week, along with Dawn Westfall on my normal Wednesday night show. Many of you know Barb as the queen of journaling through recovery, and she and Dawn have gotten together and done a collaborative effort of both of their enterprises and have just put it out there for the first time. I believe it was at the Indiana conference. And so the second time out is going to be here on my show next week. Be sure to tune in. In the meantime, if you get that prior issue to the one that just came out, I think it would have been the August-September issue, I wrote an article in that, and Barb wrote a couple of them, along with Janet Cromer and several other people who have been my guests on the show. I've been talking to you a little bit about it being the 11th month and about Thanksgiving. I'm just going to talk a little bit about that tonight. On my own show, I've been reading you. I read you the same paragraph last night as I did the week before because I liked it so well, but it was short notice coming on and doing some pinch hitting tonight. So I looked up a few other things, but what I'll tell you about my normal show is that it's a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. I introduce topics and survivors share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. Stop in, tune in, and call in. This is a we recovery program because it is in the we that we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers. Some nights we'll have a featured guest, and others will introduce a topic of recovery, encouraging callers to join us in the discussion. Other nights we'll have some great indie musicians who have been kind enough to give me permission to play their music on the radio, and at least a couple of us hosts find that music is very therapeutic, and our Southern gentleman, Les Paul Morgan, our regular Tuesday night host with his show Dream Catchers, is always telling us about, gee, I wish he was here, the American music therapy. I'm sure he'll show up later, but there is a whole study of music therapy, and so he is also a big believer. And towards the beginning of my show, I set out to find some independent musicians who would be willing to share their work with the audience here, as well as getting promoted. Our show does go all over the United States into 36 different countries. We're on 7 nights a week, and all of these live shows are archived almost immediately after they're concluded for on-demand listening at your leisure. So I'm just very happy that I've gotten a group of great indie artists and a few more that will be joining me shortly. And so we also on nights like this maybe going to play some really good music as well. As the introduction said, my name is Kim Justice, and if you want to know more about me, or if you ever want to contact me about show ideas or anything that might be on your mind, you can reach me through inaflash.org. That's inaflash.org. There's a contact author tab, and that'll send an email directly to me. Or on Facebook, you can find me at my In a Flash page. It's In a Flash Book, and I'll see if I can't post that a little bit later in the show. Or you can send a message to the Brain Injury Radio Facebook page, but you should put my name on it because all of us hosts use that page. I think that is all I have for the moment on housekeeping. May get back to a little bit more later, but I think I'm going to start out by reading you a quote and then playing a song for you. And then I will open up the mics and see if we have anybody who has anything they'd like to talk about. I'd like to encourage you, since this is kind of a free night, again, it was a last-minute pinch hit, that if you're out there tonight feeling good, feeling challenged, maybe feeling a little under the weather, I encourage you to call in and tell us what's on your mind. One of the reasons we're here is not only for education and advocacy, but this is a peer-to-peer way to connect. All of our hosts are survivors of some form of brain injury, or in our new early tier caregiving situation. And so this is just a great place. If you're like me, who went 17 years without ever having met another survivor, and you're out there listening to the show tonight, feel free to call in. Again, it's 424-243-9540. One of the quotes that I liked tonight, and I did a couple different topics, but I figured since we were talking about Thanksgiving, that I would do a few quotes on thankful in between reading you a couple of features and playing some music. So this is the first one. Thankfulness is the beginning of gratitude. Gratitude is the completion of thankfulness. Thankfulness may consist merely of words. Gratitude is shown in acts. That's by Henri Frédéric Emile. And the reason I picked this one, thankfulness may consist merely of words, gratitude is shown in acts, is that not long ago, one of my indie artists, R.E. Moore, and I'm going to tell you and print where you can find her music in the chat room in just a moment. In fact, I'll tell you that if you happen to be on Facebook at this moment, you're already at facebook.com, look up AURYMOREBAND, R.E. Moore Band. And also her website, REMoreBand.com. Now, Ari is up in the neck of the woods where our founder, Craig Cecilia, is. And one night I did a big surprise party show. It was a four-hour show where, boy, I think all but about four of my musicians actually showed up in person and gave us a little backstory on the songs of theirs I was playing, and Ari was kind enough to stay almost the whole show. And she comes from a pretty famous music family, so I think she was genetically stamped from the beginning, but she has a cousin, I believe, in the band Berlin, and her sister Pamela has been an integral part of Queensryche since the beginning. I believe that she recently went out on her own. And also some connection to the band Yes, but I'm not sure what that is. What I do know is that Ari is the only one in her family that I knew of that I had ever heard the first time I heard her music and loved it. I'm just old enough that she reminded me of a cross between Janis Joplin and, well, and just her own original talent. And there was a song of hers called Stay With Me. I asked her about the backstory on that. I thought perhaps it was a love-related song, and it was, but not in the way that I thought. She was talking about those times when we feel lonely and we feel alone, and sometimes we just need a friend to be there. We don't necessarily need any magic words. We don't need anything fixed. We might be powerless over a situation, but what we've got is together and knowing that someone's there who cares. And so I'm going to play that song for you. It's called Stay With Me, and gratitude is shown in acts. And being a friend is a huge one of those. So this is Ari Moore with Stay With Me.
Stay with me. I need a friend, someone to help my mind and brain. Stay with me. The night is cold, my heart is weak, but my fear is bold. Cover me, hold me tight. No need for love, just get me through the night. Just stay a while, watch me sail. I just need for you to stay with me. Stay with me. I'm one as much, but if I tremble, let me feel your touch. Stay with me. Help me unwind the conversations twisting in my mind. Cover me, hold me tight. No need for love, just get me through the night. Stay wild, watch me sleep. I just don't need for you to stay with me. Yeah. Watch me sleep. I just need for you to stay with me. Yeah, stay with me. I'm different.
Ari Moore with Stay With Me, AriMooreBand.com. Check her out. She's got some great music. That CD, her first CD, was released this summer, and it was nice of her to share her music with us. I think what I'm going to do now, I think I'm going to read you one more, one more thankful quote. And you know, one of the reasons why I'm doing this and bringing up Thanksgiving now, aside from the fact that it's coming up, is that like a lot of people, I have problems. You know, I really love fall and spring, but because of the craniotomy that I had and some conditions that I developed later, and I also hear a lot of you talking about some of this too, that things like changes in temperature, cold, wet, barometric pressure changes, that those are things then that can exacerbate your pain issues. And when your pain issues are flaring, if you add to that my favorite acronym HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, any one or combination of those things on top of these external triggers, and if you put on top of that internal triggers and pressures like the hustle and bustle of the holidays, possible things that are going on in your life. I got a call just before the show from a friend of mine, one of these independent musicians, John Cruz, the Cruiser Man, and he has a brain tumor, an inoperable tumor on his brain right now, and he was letting me know that another person he plays with was just diagnosed with prostate cancer. I got an email today from a woman who was a guest on my show once and was talking to me about the fact that they're going to have to be putting their dog down sometime in the next couple days. And last night on my show, had the host of another unrelated show that I go to called in to this show. He had never been to my show before, and he was looking at having to put down his, I think, 17 or 18-year-old cat, his big red cat, Archie, today. And he was divorced, not Archie, of course. My friend was divorced about a year ago, so his family split up around the holidays. He's been having some pretty drastic health issues himself with his diabetes, and now Archie is going to be leaving their family. And so there's a lot of things going on inside of people that we can't always readily see. Not only do we, many of us brain injury survivors, have what's called a place within the line of the silent epidemic because our issues aren't written all over our face, but even what I would call normies, people who haven't had a brain injury, this time of year can be very challenging for a lot of people. And for me, I know it's in my Italian gene pool that I have seasonal affective disorder and also neuropathy in my face from my craniotomy. And this is a tough time. So I'm in more pain. I'm probably going to be more emotional. And, you know, it was last year at this time we were putting down our big dog, Annie. Now, what you might have seen if you are coming in through the computer listening, there's some pictures flashing on the program page, and one of them is me screwing around behind a mask because I'm not the normal host tonight, and another is a picture of Libby with her head cocked sideways. I think I titled the program something like Recovery Now, Double Dipping, Am I flipping? I even forget what it was now. It was such short notice. But Libby is who came to live with us when Annie crossed over. And there isn't any replacement involved. It's just like with your kids. Each has a different personality. And each is an individual spirit with different needs. In fact, I could talk to you. We have four dogs. And Annie was always the mothering type. She was part German Shepherd. It could be that herding instinct, but when the other dogs would bark or do something naughty, she would try to keep them in line, and she was so loyal and loving and well-behaved. And she was like a firstborn that you read about, if you've ever read about birth order and families. Mario is my miniature dachshund. He's 11, and he is the ultimate warrior. For anyone who knows about dachshunds, the love of their life is snuggling underneath a warm blanket. And I think that burrowing under the blanket effect came from their heritage, where they were used to hunt badgers. So they were sent down into holes to get these badgers, and now I think they really like, especially in this cold weather, to burrow down under the covers. But boy, if there's something outside, a squirrel or a stranger or anything that he thinks needs to be tended to in his yard, he is the ultimate warrior, even at age 11. But he's no dummy either, because when Benny came along, who's 4 years old now, he's a French bulldog. He's got a face his mother just loves, but he may not be the sharpest tool in the shed. But Mario got himself a lieutenant, and you can just tell it's pretty funny. We sit out in the back porch 3/4 of the year when we can, and there might be a squirrel on a tree. Mario might be feeling a little stiff and not like he did, you know, 8 years ago, ready to go down there and kick booty himself. And so you can kind of see him go over and say a few words to Benny. And all of a sudden, Benny runs down to the tree and just kind of looks up like, what? What? What am I supposed to be finding? He is very loving and kind. And then Libby came when Annie crossed over, and she just had her one-year-old birthday. And if there's anything in the house amiss, missing shoes, chewed up reading glasses, just about anything that is amiss in the house, you pretty well know it's Libby. She drives her siblings crazy. She is all about energy and all about legs. She was such a tiny puppy. Now, Libby is a bug, B-U-G, part Boston and part pug. And her and Benny have become soulmates, I think. Benny doesn't always want to. Sometimes he wants to go in the other room and crash, hope she doesn't find him out and take a nap. But she always does, always wants to pester him. The other two older ones have known how to set down their boundaries with her, but Benny hasn't quite. So a lot of time he gets disturbed and taken advantage of and really has some issues. But at the end of the day, he always wants to lay by Libby and lick her until she's all wet and nappy and yucky. So thank God for puppy wipes. Boundaries and roles are something that we run into, obviously, in our real-life relationships. And I'm sure that you could recognize some of those descriptions in your siblings or in your friends, your family members, other family members. And boundaries is something that are hard to establish. Sometimes we don't know how to say no. We see somebody in our family or one of our friends that are having trouble, and we want, for one thing, there might be a need in us to be a hero, or we just might not know how to say no, and we might overextend ourselves, particularly at this time of year when things are kind of hectic anyway, or if we're in the middle of one of our own issues. I know Les Paul has a lot of migraines, and I have a lot of this trigeminal neuralgia stuff, and it's hard. It's hard to strike a balance between helping others and being other-centered, but taking care of self. and not to the extent that you become self-centered or selfish. But it's just, if you don't take care of yourself, then you really don't have much to put out there to help others. And so boundaries is one of the ways that we establish that balance in life. And if you guys have anything that you'd like to contribute on boundaries and how that's worked for you, do call in to 424-243-9540. I wasn't always really good at establishing boundaries. They were a little eclipsed and blurry in my family of origin, and so as a consequence, they were in the relationships that I developed as I got older. And poor boundaries can lead to resentment and depression and a lot of other things that can really screw up relationships. And so I've got kind of a mental checklist. If I've got a relationship in my life, or if multiple relationships in my life seem like they're all going south at the same time, I pretty well know that that's about me, not about those other people. Now, they may be taking advantage. They may have done something wrong, but it always takes two to tango. And the only one I can be responsible for is me. I can't change other people, places, and things, although I've spent a lot of my life trying, but that only leads to frustration and anger because it just ain't happening. Unless somebody is ready, willing, and able to change, they aren't going to, and it's incumbent on us to change ourselves and our perspective that this is either acceptable behavior and acceptable boundaries for us and adjust our own outlook, or maybe it's time to move on and find relationships where we can better leverage our boundaries so that both we and the people that surround us can stay healthy. Just an idea. Another quote I'll read you on thankful is, "All I ever wanted really and continue to want out of life is to give 100% to whatever I'm doing and to be committed to whatever I'm doing, and then let the results speak for themselves. Also, to never take myself or people for granted, and always be thankful and grateful to the people who helped me." That's Jackie Joyner Kersee. And I sure feel that way. There isn't anybody here who gets out of this alive, and we all need help and support no matter how fiercely independent or self-righteous we might be at some level inside of us. We always need help. We need to feel that sense of interconnectedness with others, with the universe, with the God of our understanding, and not put ourselves in a position of feeling bulletproof, isolated, and polarized in our lives at large, or particularly in our road of recovery. Because after, I don't know about you, but after I got my bell rung unexpectedly, my judgment was poor. And my perceptions were askew. And what I needed was someone I could trust, people in my life that I could trust. And I didn't find a lot of those in the traditional medical field, and there wasn't any kind of support group around my neck of the woods in 1995. There still isn't. And so I wasn't finding any kind of support that way. But thankfully, I am a member of a different unrelated support group, and I had been around there for about 7 years in 1995 when my aneurysm ruptured. And I've got to say that while I wasn't dealing directly with the issues of my brain injury, I was dealing with things like balance, gratitude, acceptance, and those four A's that I read about that is the premise for my show, which is, first of all, awareness. I have to be aware when there's something I'm doing wrong, and whether that's behavior or erroneous thinking, I just need to be aware of myself and my surroundings, or there might be a lot of things I miss. I might wonder why friends are suddenly scattering like rats, or I'm losing jobs, or any number of things. And normally, it has to do, it's kind of funny, a long time ago I saw a little sticker, and I put it on the mirror in my bathroom, and every morning when I looked at it, it said, "You're looking at the problem." Now, for people who are big in affirmations, which truly I am, that doesn't sound like it's very affirmative to say you're looking at the problem. But I was into a lot of blame and shame right then, and I was thinking in terms of how relationships in the world affected me and not how I could affect relationships in the world. Therefore, i.e., I was looking at the problem. It was me. I needed to not be so cocksure of everything 100% of the time, that everything was black and white, cut and dry, no room for negotiation, and have that self-righteous indignation. I needed to learn the how, another acronym I use a lot in my show, the how of recovery, which is honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Now, those were things that before my injury didn't really occur to me a lot. When I first had my injury, and I've talked about this before, I was less than honest at the point that I looked normal, and I didn't want to worry my family members, and I was very confused, and I knew they didn't know any more than I did. I just kept things to myself. I wasn't honest about the struggles I was having. I was living in a world of post-it notes. I lived alone at the time, and I could put on my game face and go out and act cured by day and come home just about every night and cry because I was so tired, so exhausted. It takes a lot of energy to try to run two lives and to keep up a front that's not completely honest. I wasn't open-minded because I thought if I told the truth, people wouldn't believe me because I looked normal. Also, I was told so many times how grateful I was, and people had no compunction about sharing all of the people they knew that have died from a ruptured brain aneurysm, which I don't mean to have that tone, but when you don't know, I never heard that word before it happened to me. A lot of people never heard of the, you know, TBI before it happened to them. And so right afterward, when a person is scared, especially in the acquired brain injury arena, one of the things that is not comforting is hearing how lucky you are because of all of the people that they know that died. I realized that I just almost died, but every time I felt a twinge in my head or a headache or the electricity of my wires reconnecting, I was scared. And hearing well-wishers share that kind of information with me just jazzed me up a little bit further. So I quit wanting to hear things like that, and so I quit telling the truth, and I stopped being, well, I didn't start being, I guess is more accurate, open-minded about sharing with people when I decided to close down. And willingness was willing to look, to stay in my present and to look toward the future with some optimism instead of the old glass half empty, or is the glass half empty, or is the glass half full terminology. I'm going to find you another one here that I just read that'll allude to that in my thankful quotes. Some people are always grumbling because roses have thorns. I am thankful that thorns have roses. That's by Alphonse Carr. Now, I had to be willing to look at things differently. I had to be willing to accept that my life wasn't over because I had a brain injury, because if that was the truth, I'd be dead. The truth of the matter is I was alive. My life was spared when I had double rights read over me, was in a coma, and wasn't expected to make it out of that situation, and certainly not without a lot of residuals going on. And so I just wasn't willing to let go of the notion that I could get back to who I was before and look forward as to what I might be able to do in the future, and to look at this thing as an opportunity in my life that would be a conduit to change, and that I probably would never have changed if something so dramatic wouldn't have happened that brought me to my knees, which is a place that ain't so bad when you feel like you're alone in the foxhole, hitting your knees and asking for some strength and courage from above is perhaps that, and the support from some integral friends in my life are probably the reasons why I made it through as I did in my recovery. And so for that, I want to be grateful and encourage you to be mindful this holiday season as we're entering the holiday season. And for those of you that have seasonal weather, you know, it's 14 degrees here somewhere in Middle America yesterday. And that is really cold. And I had the worst pain, fatigue, not a very great attitude, and it would have been easy to stay in bed all day. Sometimes I do stay in the house on the weekends, just try to collect myself and the energy for the rest of the week, but I also need to participate actively in my life and not let residuals that I'm living with stop me and bench me on the sidelines. I need to know that I can still get up and go live my life. Now, there's a lot of pills I could take that have been pelted at me, but I find, I don't know, I'm not a doctor. This is not medical advice whatsoever. But for me, I found that popping four Advils is as effective as the Flexerol, the Cymbalta, the Ultram, the on and on and on and on and on. 17 years, we've gone through a lot of trend drugs, and you can always tell those because they're the ones on the commercials. There was a time I could walk into support rooms and go, Celexa, Lexapro, Celexa, Lexapro, and now it's Cymbalta Prestique, Cymbalta Prestique, and I sit on the edge of my seat just waiting to see what the newcomers are going to be as these copyrights wear off. Although under Obamacare, I think that that isn't going to be as relevant because they're only ones they're going to let us have for less than $1,000 a month are going to be the generics. And that's a whole nother story. In fact, I think we have another host that's going to be talking about that soon. So I'm not going to go into that, but I think I'll play you one more tune and then I'm going to come back and read you a pretty cool blog. And let's see. I think we're going to listen to, you know, I do a lot of shows with wounded warriors. I'm very patriotic, regardless of party. Have a lot of military in my family, and we just had Veterans Day, and I played heroes on my show, and I posted it all over the internet by one of my indie artists, and his name is Chris Dukes, D as in dog, U-K-E-S, Chris Dukes. And you can find him, if you're on Facebook right now, you just look up Chris Dukes Band, C-H-R-I-S-D-U-K-E-S-B-A-N-D. And it's chrisdukesband.com for his website. And I was telling you guys, Veterans Day around there, and also Memorial Day, and I think around 9/11, that if you go on YouTube and you put in Chris Dukes Heroes, H-E-R-O-E-S, you will see a really dynamite and touching video that goes along with the song Heroes. That's the one I've been playing most around these holidays. Tonight, I think I'll play a different selection by Chris Dukes, and this one's called Greater Than Me. Greater Than Me by Chris Stukes, and make sure to thank him for letting Kim play his music on Brain Injury Radio. If you check him out on his website, ChrisStukesBand.com or Chris Stukes Band on Facebook, and I would appreciate it. That'll keep them coming. I think now I'm going to share with you a blog that I read on Lash Publishing, as a matter of fact, and I don't think this young lady, Cheryl Green, who perhaps I'll see if I can have her be a guest soon, but I read a blog that she did that I'm going to share with you now. You can see it on there yourself also, and maybe write a comment, but it's called, Can I Be Objective and Empathetic After My Brain Injury? Empathy. One thing that has confused me since my traumatic brain injury is empathy. I want everyone to have it, and forgive me when I'm rude, forgetful, and overwhelmed. More than anything, I wish I had it for others. I'm sure I used to have a whole lot more of it. I love spending time with my peers, but over and over, when someone tells me something difficult, I have these two uncomfortable reactions. Number one, I think, hurry up so I can tell you something terrible that happened to me. Or number two, I laugh. Even as I have heard someone's beloved family member or companion animal has died, I start to laugh and think about how bored I am and what's for lunch. What's worse? If a character on TV I like dies, I sob and scream at the loss. Now and again, though, I get a taste of that old familiar tug of the heartstrings when my friend told me about the driver high on meth who hit him and left him with a near-fatal severe TBI, I got tears in my eyes. My throat closed up. I looked at my friend in a new light and had a swelling sense of curiosity about him. The feeling passed a minute later. Dang it, where did it go? Being objective. Now I'm really nervous because I'm creating and co-directing a feature-length documentary film on artists with brain injury called Who Am I to Stop It? Having to organize and control that much is difficult and confusing. I have temper tantrums on set. I forget to tell the persons I'm coming to film that I'm coming. But I love it, and the work is making me step up my game. For a while, I thought all the organization and leadership was going to be the hard part. Well, it is. And there's another part, being objective and empathetic at the same time. It's hard to admit this, but sometimes when I'm filming for the documentary and someone says something horrible, I get too excited. I think, yes, I'm so glad the camera was on. What documentary filmmaker wouldn't be excited for capturing a wonderful, deep story? I get so caught up in having a great film that I don't even recognize the humanity of the person saying the horrible thing. Or, if I do get choked up on set, I tell myself to be more objective. It's hard because most of the people I'm filming are already friends whom I love and am interested in. When they say something interesting on set, I have to just nod. That's a good thing, but it scares me how easily I can brush off terrible, painful things they say when the camera's rolling. I sometimes don't ask follow-up questions because I don't comprehend how important something was that someone said. Or when the cameras stop, I go on and on with them in too much detail about what they said, returning to friend mode and taking up my film crew's time. What if I can't stop it? What if, when the film ends next year, I still hang out with these people and laugh and say, oh, I wish I had recorded that, instead of, how can I support you in your pain right now? I'm not empty of feeling, compassion, or empathy. It's just that those things are not always there when I want or expect them to be anymore. Making a documentary might be good for someone who can listen to a gut-wrenching story without getting emotionally involved. But is it the best thing for someone who doesn't have a firm grip on empathy and objectivity? I guess that, too, will become part of the story in some way. And again, that was a blog by Cheryl Green and on lapublishing.com. This was dated October 2nd, and it's in the category of brain injury blog postings. I encourage you to check out that section of the website. There's always some really thought-provoking things, and for me, this was one of those, thinking about empathy and objectivity. Too often, I think, again, a lot of normal people, but particularly a lot of people who have suffered a brain injury whose filters have been compromised, can lose or have their empathy and objectivity compromised. And that can make emotion regulation and impulse control big problems that can damage meaningful relationships. And so if we buy into the fact that everybody deep down wants to love and be loved, then we have to know, or my first A in the four A's of recovery, we have to be aware of our part of it. And sometimes it's just what Cheryl says, a lack of empathy and objectivity. So that is a little kernel and seed for thought. When we're looking at what someone else has done, we can look in the mirror and see what part of the problem we represent. And then the next part, awareness, acceptance, is my second day of recovery. When we accept that that, in fact, is the fact, I've got a part in every relationship that I'm in. Sometimes it's just because I put myself in the position of being in the relationship in the first place. And sometimes it's because I've behaved as shamelessly as I perceive the other person has. And so I always want to bring it back to me, not in a selfish way, but in a journey way, so that I can always show accountability and responsibility and acknowledgement for my part in what's going wrong in a relationship. And that isn't going to totally erase the fact that we might not have empathy, objectivity, sensitivity, a lot of other adjectives I could throw out there. It's not going to take it away. But I think that it's going to soften the blow just a little bit when we look at our side and we admit that to the other person. And we do that without an expectation that they'll be readily understanding or forgiving, but we do that to keep our own side of the street clean, and so that we can start a practice of being aware of our part in every emotional transaction that we encounter. So I think now I'm going to play a song by my friend, and I'm going to play some different ones tonight. You guys get used to hearing some of the regulars, but I'm going to play you a few different selections. And I think one of them right now is by Daniel Christensen, and that's D-A-N-I-E-L, Daniel Christensen, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N-S-O-N. And you can find Daniel, I'm sorry, there's no son on there, it's Daniel Christian, Today has been a day. And you know what? While I'm on this, I want to apologize. There was a show that was going to be on before this one tonight. Normally, The Empowerment Zone, a brand new show in the last couple months is on. And the wonderful pioneers in the independent living scene, Ken Collins, does the first Thursday of each month at 5 o'clock Pacific. And Constance Miller normally does tonight, which would be the second Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific time. The third week, Les Paul, our dream catcher, normal Tuesday night, every Tuesday night host in the late shows, does his Empowerment Zone show on independent living the third week, and then the fourth week they get together and do a round table. Now, today was just kind of a weird day altogether. I got up late, and I don't know about you, if you sleep in and get up late, and you've got a list of to-dos on your checklist, and you hit the floor running in kind of a frenzy and just get yourself agitated. My Nana has a saying, the faster I go, the behinder I get. And that's kind of what was going on with me today. Les Paul was at a support group, and Constance needed to be at a prior engagement with a brain injury symposium that she was going to be in. And Ken, unfortunately, we want to send up some prayers for Ken Collins, his mother. He got a call from her today, and she has a pretty grave health condition going on right now. So I know that he could use our prayers, our warm thoughts going his way as he's on his way to see his mother. And so, strange enough, all of the hosts for Empowerment Zone were not available tonight. And I tried to put up a show, thought I did it, and I screwed up. Still not sure exactly what I did to screw up, but for any of you who are listening for the earlier show, Empowerment Zone, they will be back next Thursday. It will be Les Paul, I believe. And then the next week, hopefully, Ken, Constance, and Les Paul will be back to do their roundtable. And I apologize for screwing up the early show. I thought that it automatically fired, but when I signed in about halfway through, I saw that it was still waiting for the host. So that was my fault. And going to the song I'm going to play, that second mistake I just made is it's Daniel Christian. And if you're on Facebook, look up Daniel Christian Music, DanielChristian Music. And his Facebook page is DanielChristianMusic.com. Now, I think Daniel, I think he's about, I think his fourth CD he recently released. And my husband and I had the opportunity to see him live here somewhere in Middle America a couple of times in the summer. And we just love Daniel. I normally play you a song called Find My Voice because I think it's so indicative of a dynamic that all of us in recovery go through. But tonight I'm going to play a different song of Daniel's. And this song is called Me by Daniel Christian.
Hardened by the world or the knowledge that it's given you, even though your heart has lived what others have merely read. But I digress and I confess, there's too much to address in verse. but we'll see where this takes us. Navigating through these thoughts about my head. I suspect we can all find joy within the little things, and it seems you may just have spotted hints in me. And even though I don't know, and I disallow you the affirmation, please be advised that I recognize if it comes from you, then there's something to it. Can you see within yourself what I don't see in me? Do you find what we all know is inside of you? Is it possible for us to find self-worth, or is that just an idealistic dream? Open-minded people closed off to the masses' concept of our own value. I wish I could picture me the way you picture me, as a trusted source of faith and substance. If it really is the way you see, then there could still be hope for me. There may exist a rationale for some optimistic confidence. Joy in the little things, when there's common ground between the faithful heart and the logical mind. Beauty in simplicity, detail and complexity. But what is it that we're hoping to find? Just a revelation of a personal kind. I know how you think, and you know how I think, that's how I take away your ammunition. Somehow you dismiss the rhetoric and flank me with press-saving tactics, even without my cooperation. I wish I could picture me the way you picture me, the thoughts of faith and substance. If it really is the way you see, then there could still be hope for me. There may exist a rationale for some optimistic confidence.
That was Daniel Christian with Picture Me. So we've had kind of an interesting show tonight. We've worked on some quotes of thanks, talked a little bit about relationships, read a blog about objectivity and empathy, and I thought that I might read you a couple quotes out of my own book. And of course, they're not original quotes. There were quotes that related to my chapters, but, and then I'm going to read you something else. And all of this does tie together in our change of season and approaching of the holidays, a time when some of us have a tendency to feel a little darker due to weather conditions, hustle and bustle, getting shifted off of our normal routine, things like that. So we're kind of covering a lot of different territory. And again, please feel free to call in to 424-243-9540. Throw in your two cents. I've pretty much hit every venue of topic that I can so far, so you might as well take your shot at it too. But chapter one in my book has a short quote. And I think it's one that all of us have experienced. We must be willing to let go of the life we have planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us. E.M. Forster. Amazing, even when we don't know what that life ahead is going to be. But there is something we do know, and we know it's going to change. And that's what I'm going to share with you right now, is something on change that I read a few weeks ago and luckily kept. This was from beliefnet.com, and it kind of fits in with the theme that we're having tonight, or that we're working out having, and that's, again, the change in us, change in the seasons, any kind of change. A lot of times we like to stay where we are because the fear of change just makes us want to stay, even if we know we're stuck or in a bad place. It takes effort, and we're so fatigued, and we have so much going on that change can be a hindrance or feel like it's a hindrance for us. So there's some changes that we're going to be going through here at the studio, good changes. We're going to be having our own studio, and there's some changes that have been going on in my family. Again, some changes with my health that come with the season and the actual change of the season. And so when I saw this, I thought it was pretty cool, and I'm going to read it to you, and I hope it will help you get some insight as it did me. Again, I got this off beliefnet.com, and it's called 7 Ways to Cope with Change. Change is hard to cope with because we are all creatures of habit and thrive off our daily routines. When life throws an obstacle in your way, you may feel nervous or apprehensive because this hurdle is steering you away from your normalcy. However, if there is a will, there is a way. Never give up, and always keep in mind that change is inevitable. Here are 7 ways to help you cope with change. Number 1, be prepared. Life is full of twists and turns. Don't let this be a lesson you refuse to learn. No matter what the circumstances, death, loss, or other strange instances, sooner or later in life, you will have to face challenges. No matter how much you may try to shelter or protect yourself from it, change is inevitable. The major key to coping with change is to begin by accepting the reality of change and its inevitability. Number 2, notice the signs. Many times we refuse to see what is in front of us. The ailing health of a loved one, the restructuring of your place of employment, or the comments about things needing to change. To avoid surprise or shock at the last minute, stay alert, listen, and register the signs of the oncoming. Acknowledging impending change allows you to be forewarned and forearmed. Nothing can be helped by pretending things will be okay. Putting in place options to cope with change ahead of the actual change can help you deal with it, but potentially thrive too. Any of that sound familiar to you? Thrivers, oh survivors. Number 3, what's the worst that can happen? Maybe that's not a good one for us. This question will force you to look at the worst case scenario, then work back from there. Force yourself to look at what could go wrong and find strategies to do your best to prevent this. See? Sorry even getting number 3 out there. Number 4, allow yourself time to heal. This is really important because we all do it at a different pace, and the expectations of ourselves and others can really screw that up. That was my edification, by the way. Hers. Number 4, allow yourself time to heal. Change is a shock because it destabilizes the life you've made for yourself. if you had goals and they had been achieved, then change can feel like a slap in the face to your goals. All habits and routines are up for questioning when change interferes. So going slowly and easing yourself into the new is an essential strategy for coping. 5. Cherish memories, but nourish the future. With grief for death, there will always be a piece of your heart missing. But if you accept this and you're willing to carry the memories as lively as can be for the rest of your life, this will help you reach some acceptance of what has happened. If it is a job loss or some other personal loss that is not death, you will still need mourning time to release your sadness and grief over a loss of something that once filled a large part of your life. Doing something to signify the ending may give you a sense of closure and allow you to move forward. 6, reinstate your purpose. Reinstating or finally finding your purpose in life can be a powerful way of putting change into context in your life. Initially, you may feel resistant to the idea that your sense of purpose in life is either missing or skewed, but change can awaken the quest for re-examining what matters to you. Allow this to be an opportunity to renew or reroute your purpose in life. And finally, 7, view change as opportunity. Change is an opportunity to re-examine the life you've been leading. You need to identify whether you've been making the right choices, paying too much time, money, effort for leading a lifestyle that isn't bringing you happiness, or being aimless rather than making choices. Although devastating, each of the types of change can bring a silver lining. Now, I thought this was particularly apropos for our group because, especially here, 5 and 6, allow yourself time to heal. And that's not having unrealistic expectations of yourself or allowing the expectations of others to get into the way of your recovery. Again, you hear me say balance a lot. Balance, 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 balance. Certainly, you don't want to over delay your recovery, your time to heal, but you don't want to rush into it headlong and wind up giving yourself a setback either. You got to pace yourself. You know, one thing I noticed about the gym, about every decade of my life, which is a few of them at this point, is that it takes a long time to be in really good, buff, healthy, clean diet shape, and it takes about 2 weeks to lose it all and then not have the motivation to get back up on the horse. It's a dynamic I've noticed more than just me, and I've got to say that along with that realization about how hard it is to get in condition and how fast it is to decondition, I think every year of my life I've bought a treadmill too, and each and every one has wound up as a clothes rack. And it's not quite as bad as getting a pool table moved out of your basement, but I have donated so many treadmills that I promise for whatever decades I have left, I will never buy another treadmill. Perhaps a recumbent bike, no promises, but certainly not another treadmill. It's almost laughable if I picture each decade and the clothing styles that I was throwing off and hanging over. My clothes were getting a heck of a workout, but it wasn't doing much for me. So giving ourselves an ample amount of time to heal without being a slacker, I think, is really important. And then the cherish memories, but nourish the future. You know, there's a lot of good that's come in all of our lives. We might have had some real challenges, some really bad times coming up, but we remember snippets of things that brought us pleasure along our past journey, and we want to remember those and keep those close to our heart, but we also want to nourish the future, because whether the future just means tomorrow or the next week or the next decade or the next 3 decades, that's the rest of our life. And for a lot of us listening to this program, it's our second or third shot at life. And it truly is a gift. If we didn't believe our life was a gift the first time, we better darn well get the idea that when we've almost lost our life 2 or 3 or 4 times and shoulda, were told we were gonna, and even had last rites read over us, then I think we have to be pretty certain about number 6, which was reinstate your purpose. Again, that was reinstating or finally finding your purpose in life can be a powerful way of putting change into context in your life. And so we want to try to view change as an opportunity, and if not reinstate our purpose, I think in our audience, a lot of times, and in my own case, we're not really reinstating our purpose, we're recreating our purpose, and there's a lot of fear in that. So I hope these 7 steps to help you cope with change, help people cope with change, is something that you took some benefit from. And I'm going to read you one more quote out of my book, then I'll go back to some of the canned ones as I play you another tune. Might even read you a little excerpt of my book. This one, chapter 6, is called Back to Reality, and this was obviously after the event of my ruptured brain aneurysm and the initial recovery. And I open this chapter with, when we honestly ask ourselves which person in our lives mean the most to us, we often find that it is those who, instead of giving advice, solutions, or cures, have chosen rather to share our pain and touch our wounds with a warm and tender hand. The friend who can be silent with us in a moment of despair or confusion, who can stay with us in an hour of grief or bereavement, who can tolerate not knowing, not curing, not healing, and face with us the reality of our powerlessness, that is a friend who cares. Again, by Andre Nguyen. And I think now I'm going to play you a song, give you a break from me talking for a minute. And with that, I think I'll add a little levity for those of you who are aware of it. Hello. Sorry, I just looked at the chat room listening audience and saw that a couple people have popped up in there. Hello, Allie, and that other guy who should be mad at me for that mistake I made earlier. I blew it, and I've already been through it. So we're not going to talk to it anymore. Did that sound poetic? Okay. Now this song is totally out of context after I just jumped off the rail with that muse. But I was going to say, okay, so now I'm totally losing it. I was going to say that for those of you who were familiar with the remodel we did of our bathroom last year, you found out that every character defect I had was flaring. These people tell you what time they're going to be there. The culture was so much different than the one I grew up in. I grew up in a business culture around the dinner table, and then I worked in it for 30 years. You were on time. You know, you were in line on time, looking good, shooting sharp. You just had a way of doing things. And when it comes to people who do work, and I'm not making a rash generalization, I'm saying all of them I've ever met, things don't go according to my plan. This thing was supposed to take, like a week? It took 2 weeks. And we had a new puppy. My husband had brought home Libby, wild Libby. So I had four dogs, and I was baby-gated into our office with four dogs going crazy because of this new puppy they had only known a couple days. These strange men in and out, in and out, in and out, banging on stuff, making all kinds of noise. And I had asked, you know, some contractors had come out, and I had interviewed them, and I said, you know what I don't want? This isn't my first time at the rodeo. I know how y'all book like 29 jobs, spend 10 minutes at each one, go to lunch for 3 hours, go to the next one, and you drag it out, drag it out, drag it out. I'm looking for the man who can get here, make me the priority. This is like a 3 or 4 day job. Get her done, get paid, get out. This guy guaranteed me he was that man. And 2 weeks later, the banging is still going on. And he had one guy that worked for him. I found out that the contractor basically is like points and tells his people what to do. I didn't really actually see him do a lot. But one of his guys that he sent who kept telling me what time he was going to be there and then coming late all the time. He comes in one day and he's late again. And I'm trying really hard to control myself because I know I've got some issues. You push me into the corner and I can just come out being the Wicked Witch of the West. I know that. And I didn't want to do it. But man, ooh, being 10 hours a day locked up with those dogs and having these people come and go and getting me off my schedule and my routine, as each day passed, I was getting worse and worse. And so the guy comes in one day, the main guy who is always late, comes in. I make the mistake of acting like I care. I'm just going to come right out and say it, because at this point, a 4 day job, we're almost 2 weeks into it, and I truly don't care at that moment. But the guy looked a little down. I said, what's up? And he proceeds to sit down in my bathroom, which is really small. To sit down, he puts his tool kit down, he sits down on it, and he starts sobbing. He was having girlfriend problems. I'm like, oh, Jesus. I couldn't even sit down on my toilet while he was sitting on his toolbox to talk to him, because my toilet had been sitting in my spare room for 4 days, which also had me less than pleased, shall we say. And so I find myself here with this contractor sobbing on his toolbox about girlfriend problems, and somewhere, well, I won't say. I was going to say somewhere between wanting to just smack him off his toolbox and tell him to get his arse back to work, I did sit down and impart on him what few things I could think of and try to practice that empathy I just read about and finally get him back to work. And he did pull himself together, worked about a half hour, and then had to cut out early at 3:30. After that hour or two, he was at my house, and we had had our long conversation being on the phone with his girlfriend. Well, the saving grace in all this, and actually it wasn't even the saving grace. This was, they owed me this. As it turned out, that contractor, who wasn't around very much, aside from pointing fingers, was in a band at one time. They were no longer in a band, and I've made an observation that a lot of bands that break up, it's one of two reasons, and they're often combined. And one of them is what I call a Yoko moment. The cutie lead singer finds a new girlfriend, and suddenly the band has a new manager. And of course, the lead singer is happy, and the rest of the band hates her, ultimately hates him, and then they break up, and they all act like girls and run in an opposite direction, or money. Those are my two observations. But it's really too bad with these guys, because as you're going to hear in a moment, they were good. This guy's got a really good voice, I think. And aptly named, after everything I've just told you, they're called the Hard Times Band. And after what I just read you in that quote about the people that are special to us, I'm going to come back and tie this together since I took a something shiny moment. This is called You're Never Alone. And when you come to Brain Injury Radio, you truly aren't ever alone, because we've all been there, and that's why we're trying to be here for you and for me. This is Never Alone by the Hard Times Band.
When the phone rings, you know I'll have to go. But if I had my way, we'd never say goodbye. But no matter how far away they send me, I'll be with you all the time. 'Cause you're never alone. I close my eyes, you're right where you belong. You're never alone, even when I'm called away from home. I'll keep you with me even when I'm gone. So you're never alone. I can't tell you when I'm coming home again. And I know this isn't easy. Don't cry, and I hope you understand. This is something I just have to do. But you're never alone. I close my eyes, you're right where you belong. You're never alone, even when I'm called away from home. I'll keep you with me.
Never Alone by the Hard Times Band, and they were having some hard times then, that's for sure. In Chapter 8, I'm kind of bouncing back between thankful quotes from Brainy Quote online. That's brainyquote.com, and ones that I used from other places in my own book. But Chapter 8 is the wedding, and that was the ill-fated wedding that came a few months after my brain injury. And I opened that chapter with Kale Gibran, one of my favorites, and it says, "No human relation gives one possession in another. Every two souls are absolutely different. In friendship or in love, the two side by side raise hands together to find what one cannot reach alone." I think that one's pretty cool. Obviously, that marriage didn't work out, so we weren't there for each other. I think we were both doing our reaching alone. Me to try to figure out what in the heck just happened to me, and him to try to get through med school since I was paying for it. So that's another thing. We've got to keep our sense of humor in this recovery business. I'm going to read something out of my book, and this comes earlier on, and it's when I was in a coma, and in the chapter where I write about the specifics of my brain surgery. And my mother, I should play this at the end with my normal outro, but I've kind of scrambled egged everything else I've done today, so I might as well stay consistent and just do that till the end of the show. But and maybe I'll even play another song. As a matter of fact, after this, I'm probably going to want to step it up, but I'm going to find the lady first, I hope. Maybe I'm not. I was going to read you a chapter. My mom was doing a little bit of journaling when I was having my surgery. It was a Monday that I had my aneurysm, a Tuesday that it was diagnosed, and on Friday was the surgery. So it was probably the longest week my family ever had, and I was blessed that there was a lot of extended family and friends, probably 100 people in the waiting room praying. We were talking about that on someone else's show the other night, but I was very fortunate that there were about 100 people there praying for me when I was in surgery and being of comfort to my family. But late at night, in those quiet times where you're watching your loved one, and I never, you know, my family and I never really talked about the experience when it was over with. Still haven't really talked about intimacies about it. And so when my birthday came and my mom gave me some cards that she had written things, random thoughts she had written things on, I did choose to put one of those in my book. And it was on commitment, is what it says at the top. "Commitment takes on many shapes. Your dad and I, without ever needing to voice it out loud, made a silent but very firm commitment to see you through this whatever direction it took. Our total and complete focus became you and whatever that day held for all of us. One moment at a time, we three were on a mission. Be strong, our precious angel. Stay with us. Hang on. The surgery is Friday. We are right here with you, and you are being so brave and so courageous. We love you so much. We are praying. The bonds of love and the commitment between the three of us filled that tiny ICU room with all its noise, the buzzing and beeping sounds of all the equipment. Something kept running through my mind over and over. Whenever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am, and he was. Reflections from Mom, Soft Place to Land by Kathleen Edwards, and yeah, I think we all looking for that sometimes, that's for sure. I think I'm going to pick it up a little bit. Hate to do that. Got you all nice and relaxed and reflective, thankful, and now I'm going to call for a little chair dancing, pacing, or perhaps some chanting. Party over there ain't over here. And Let's see, which one of these will I play by my friend Cruiser? I think I'm going to play the shorter one. And, hey, who can't get into this thought? This is my friend John Cruz, hopefully to be a guest. And Cruiser did call me right before the show, tried to get him to get on here. Gosh darn it, I'm going to have him on here because he's one of us now and be a guest. But he hasn't been ready, but he is going to be playing Saturday night. And I'm going to be there with bells on, and maybe he'll be singing this one, Lover with a Feeling. Oh, yeah. Think about that. I think while we're on a momentum, and then we'll bring it back down as we're winding it down, I think I'll do one more of those. It was an Adam Met Eve that the blues began. So this is John Cruz with By My Side. Keep those feet tapping. Cruiser Man, my buddy, I'm looking forward to seeing him on Saturday night and praying that that brain tumor of his doesn't grow, hangs where it's at, because he makes some pretty fine music. And now I'm going to do what I've become suddenly known for, and that's this unauthorized audio belch, and it kind of goes along with the pictures that are scrolling on my screen tonight. If you happen to catch that, you will see this.
Somewhere in middle America.
Yep, that's where this host is, somewhere in middle America. Everybody's showing up right when the show was due to end. I might do a little overtime and you still don't have to talk. I'll just crack wise with Allie in the chat room. And, but I should tell you all, if you want to stay, and I'll just stay a while longer and play some other tunes. I'm not ready to leave in 10 minutes, I don't think. Might not be much more than that, but you need to dial into 424-243-9540. Or you'll be dropped off the panel in, I don't know, like 6 minutes or 5 minutes or something. 424-243-9540, and I welcome your comments. As most of you wouldn't have doubted, I haven't had a lot of time filling up 2 hours talking to myself. they used to lock you up for stuff like that, but this is the most forgiving crowd on the planet. You just get away with that kind of stuff. So I'm happy. I'm happy if you're happy. And if you're not and you're not here, bummer. Okay, let's scroll. Scroll, scroll. We've got so many people in here now. Oh, yeah, my bad boys. I talked to them the other day, as a matter of fact. And I want to upload another song of theirs that I heard the other day, Naughty Me. I've had the whole CD, and I stuck on a couple of songs, and those are the ones I uploaded. But these guys are a little bit younger, and I get the idea from a couple of YouTubes I've watched that they like to partay. But the night I had the big surprise party, two of the musicians who actually called in, these people that you're hearing, I think all of them except one that I played tonight showed up for the show live that night. And this guy was actually on tour, and he called in between sets just so he could say hi to all of you guys. And something kind of funny happened. We had been talking for a little while, and then he had to get back to his set, and I didn't question it. I was just kind of sitting there talking, not paying attention, and he gave me the backstory on this song. And as soon as I said the title, he was gone off the switchboard. And I started laughing at the irony of the name of this song and then him just like poof, disappearing. But it was to go back in and play another set at a paid for concert, so we'll forgive him. But I know his real name, but I can't tell it but he is one of my my naughty Jersey boys in Francis Jones and the Saviors. And this is something I feel like every time I do a show for you guys. And it's, I want to be with you.
All right, we're going to do this shit.
Broke free from a pet I said soon to long, so it wasn't right. Now I'm a bloody mess in this freedom fight. Good knees and easy eyes, some whiskey for the cold nights, some cold nights you to love is shy, not to notice the beauty shot. Got no grace between the lines, and it's something that used to be free, but now it has its toll. These eyes are like the seas where I'd be if I was lost. But now I wanna be with you. So it wasn't hard. On the other nights when we became strangers, when the freedom of love was far, we would shine on others, trying not to go back to our star. And it's something that used to be free, but now it has its cost. These eyes are like the seas where I'd be if I was wrong. Be with you.
Fun guys. They got a couple YouTubes too, but I can tell you where to find them. He's got kind of a weird way of doing things. If you, I know some of you don't do Facebook. You can find him at francisjones.bandcamp.com. And on Facebook, for those of you who are on Facebook, he goes by Dr. D.R. Francis Jones, DrFrancisJones. And otherwise, I'll type in that Bandcamp address in just a moment when I put on another song in just a second. Tonight, we've talked about, to keep any of you up on what we were doing, tonight we read a quote, we read a blog called Can I Be Objective and Empathetic After My Brain Injury by Cheryl Green. That's located on the Lash Publishing site, that's lapublishing.com. From October 2nd, 2013. Cheryl Green looks like a nice young lady. She's working on a full-length feature about brain injury, and this was a very interesting article, so that's pretty awesome. And Allie asked me, I read the details of this thing. I'm not going to do that again, but what we were talking about is change, not only change in the season, but the changes that we've gone through in our lives due to our brain injuries and all the things that can exacerbate those at this time of year. And I talked about the temperature, and for one thing, can be a big change, because when you've got chronic pain like I do with the trigeminal neuralgia and some of the other things, this is nasty, cold, wet, barometric pressure changes. We've heard some people lately with relationship changes. We heard my guest last night, Craig Phillips, who I want to thank again from Second Chance to Live for being on my show. He talked about changing jobs in his earlier years of recovery. And so change is something that we are always many times apprehensive of, because it takes us out of our comfort zone. So I'll just read you, this came from beliefnet.com, and if you want to get a copy of this from me, you can write me and I'll send you the detail that those of you who came in late might not have heard me read. But I will tell you, I'll just read the first paragraph and then just give you the 7 items without the explanation to them this time around. Change is hard to cope with because we are all creatures of habit and thrive off of our daily routines. When life throws an obstacle in your way, you may feel nervous or apprehensive because this hurdle is steering you away from your normalcy. However, if there is a will, there is a way. Never give up and always keep in mind that change is inevitable. Here are 7 ways to help you cope with change. Number 1, be prepared. Number 2, notice the signs. Number 3, the worst that can happen. Number 4, allow yourself time to heal. Number 5, cherish memories but nourish the future. Number 6, reinstate your purpose, which I changed to, in our cases, a lot of times that's reinvent your purpose. And number 7, view change as opportunity and not so much a handicap. So we went over those 7 ways of coping with change. We read through the blog, Can I Be Objective and Empathetic After Brain Injury? We've read some quotes because I've been on this, we're in the 11th month and it's Thanksgiving. I got some quotes on being thankful that I've read in between songs. And it seems like there was another one here that I wanted to read. And then I read a few quotes from the book, my own book. And we've played some great indie musicians in between. So for any of you who missed all or part of the show and you're hearing this now, that's what you can expect to hear from this show. This quote is by John Wooden. Be true to yourself. Help others, Make each day your masterpiece. Make friendship a fine art. Drink bleed from good books, especially the Bible. Build a shelter against a rainy day. Give thanks for your blessings and pray for guidance every day. And keep your eyes open to your mercies. The man who forgets to be thankful has fallen asleep in life. And that's by Robert Louis Stevenson. Now I can hear the spaceship on its way back to Stratcom going over my head. So if you guys hear a spaceship, just know that those are the people protecting our country going back home for the night. Kind of late for them. A song I got recently, and you can find this, in fact, it's real recent, and I'm hoping that my friend Cruiser, that you've heard a couple times tonight, is going to be singing this song Saturday night, because it... But so does the person who wrote this song and owns the master rights to it. He's really quite famous among the musicians I have in the pack. Gary Nicholson, interestingly, is one you might not have heard of before, but he's from Tennessee, and he has written music for just about every famous country and some blues singers that you can imagine. I had a whole list of them the other day, but you can check him out at garynicholson.com, and that's GARYNICHOLSON.com, Gary Nicholson Music. And if you happen to be on Facebook, it is Gary Nicholson Music on Facebook. Another artist has done this song to wider acclaim, but Gary Nicholson, it is his baby. He wrote it, and last night it was kind of funny on my own show. One of the callers said, yeah, it's difficult to get through the peaks and valleys in life, but there's just good days and bad days. Well, I couldn't resist that, because Gary Nicholson's song is called Good Days, Bad Days, and I think it's pretty awesome. This is Gary Nicholson with Good Days, Bad Days.
Everybody wants to know how I get along in these dark days since you've been gone. Sometimes I'm fine, sometimes I'm dying, stumbling through one step at a time. I have good days, bad days. The nights are all tonight I'll go home to the same old routine. Dinner for one by a phone that don't ring. But what's the use in going out on the town? I know I'll never wear your memory down. I have good days, bad days, sunshine and rain. I have good days, bad days, but some things never change. All the nights are all the same.
Again, that was Good Days, Bad Days. Can't relate to that, can ya? GaryNicholson.com. And you should Google him, Gary Nicholson. Well, you don't really need to Google him. Just look at his website, GaryNicholson.com, and you'll see what an acclaimed writer, songwriter, and musician he is, which is pretty awesome. Now, let's see. I'm just going to make a couple of more announcements, and then I'm probably going to go ahead and close out the show. Again, I want to apologize to those of you who tried to listen to the Empowerment Zone before this. All of the hosts had, it was just one of those things. Ken's mom took a very bad turn with an illness, and he was flying to see her. Constance had a symposium for brain injury that she had to be at, and Les Paul had a support group he had to be at. I tried really hard to have a program there for you, and I don't know what I did wrong, but I made a mistake and it didn't fire, and as a consequence there was no show, and it said show waiting for host. So I profusely apologize for that. Next Thursday at 5 o'clock Pacific, Empowerment Zone will be back. This wasn't their deal, it was mine, so I apologize for that. And I guess I do have one hand up, haven't had one of those all night, so I will open the mic for that. And there was just let's see. Thank you is the best prayer that anyone could say. I say that one a lot. Thank you expresses extreme gratitude, humility, and understanding. And that is by Alice Walker. And now, I'll unmute area code 803. I got that apology in before I unmuted you.
I'm playing with you. Hey, Kim, you've done wonderful. I've been filled in so many times when different people haven't been able to attend. I've had a very unique, unusual, and very empowering and sad day. It's very strange. I just got home for a few moments ago, and I called while I was driving my car and just laid the phone down. That's why I thought you could come on. I was at hospital visiting some members of our support group that I probably got there at 8 o'clock and wound up coming home at 11. I think I left at 11:30. and that's why I wasn't able to be there. So sometimes you have to think about your local community. But all these Brain Injury Radio shows, I hope, are building communities all over the United States and all around the world to help people like this. I just decided, okay, these people have been through so much that I'm talking about, and they're in my local support group, and her husband has been very ill, and I just decided I need to go spend some time with him. So I spent about 3.5 hours with him tonight. That's why I wasn't able to be on the radio show until just a few moments ago.
Oh, that's
cool. But thank
you
for all you do.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I just, it was a last-minute pinch hit for Frank, and I tried really hard to, whoa, my computer's going to die too. I tried really hard to get a show up and put it as the audio startup file and just went on and ate dinner and didn't think anything of it. I fully expected that Penny and Kathy show would be on, and I logged on early to mine and it said waiting for host, and you know that I just wanted to die for doing that. I still don't know what the problem was, but I knew you were at a support group tonight too and had a busy night. So at least we did get one show fired out tonight, and so that's a good thing. And Frank, this was the fantastic Frank show. Frank is doing some traveling around the country in a quest to become rich and famous. Maybe that, what's that, Robin something or other, the English guy who used to have that show, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Oh, I can't say his name.
Robin Leach. Yeah, I think it was Robin Leach.
It was.
Yep, exactly. Okay. Well, we might be hearing, if that guy's still alive, he'll be telling us all about Fantastic Frank one of these days, but I think he's going to be out touring for the next month or so, so we'll be having some fill-in hosts over the next few Thursdays, but we wish Frank luck. He's been, I don't know how the heck he's been doing it. It seems like he's living out of a suitcase. Every time that I've talked to him, he's been in an airport or just checking into a hotel or checking out of a hotel and doing all kinds of TV and radio spots, and so we wish him luck with that. Again, Empowerment Zone will be back next week on Thursday, and I think that's your actual night. Isn't the third Thursday of each month yours?
Third or fourth, I can't even remember right now. I just came in and called on the phone. I think that's right, but I'll have to check on my calendar. Kind of funny, I've just been so busy today. But I just wanted to share, I was at our Augusta Brain Injury Support Group tonight, and we had a lot of people there, and it was just so amazing seeing these people coming together and helping one another. We had a lady that her husband died as a result of his brain injury who started helping out with the group, and she had a big smile on her face. That she said she had to find something more to do with her life after her husband passed away. And so she's devoted herself to helping others with brain injury.
Great.
It's not always the survivor working to help out. It's sometimes a family member or a wife or a son or daughter. And I saw a lot of beautiful people. There were probably 40 people there tonight.
God, that's great.
Just an amazing meeting. It was.
40 people, that's a lot of people considering.
It was.
You could probably import us a couple since we have none at all here, you know. Could you send us 10? You know, we could get
a
start.
I'll send you some pictures.
Something like that. Oh, good.
So, there are so many people. My phone, it'll take a 360 picture. I didn't even know that until recently. And so I had to do it that way. I'd send it around and take pictures because people in all directions. It was an amazing meeting. And they were asking me about Brain Injury Radio, and they're wanting to, they're trying to reauthorize some funding to help people be able to stay in brain injury apartments and brain injury facilities. So they want me to talk with the news media in the next couple of days.
Cool. Well, you're seasoned at doing that by now.
I think funny sometimes people say, let's call you do this, let's call me do that. I think we all need to. There's not anything special about me that I don't see it that way. I think we all have a special passion for brain injury, whether it's like you playing the music tonight. That's helping somebody out there suffering right now or someone who's feeling down when they hear that music. When I heard you talking about the music, it lifted me up because it was pretty hard today seeing people in pain and not feeling well and so many people that are suffering from traumatic brain injury. But the music mm-hmm. you've been playing lifts me up, so thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And I've got one more hand up. It's funny, I've been here for 2 hours and 20 minutes, and it's nice. Allie was here in the chat room, but I've pretty much been on my own, so it's nice of you guys to call here at the mm-hmm. end, and I'm going to unmute Allie. Welcome, and thanks for spending the evening with me.
Thank you, Tim. Great show as always, and I was quite content with sitting on the chat line going back and forth with you. That was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing fine. It's been a long night, but a very productive night.
That's wonderful. You sound tired, but you sound fulfilled, so I'm glad to hear that. I just wanted to mention that I had a support group on yesterday. Secondary mood management challenges as a result of my brain injuries, and it's so important. Excuse me, I just wanted to give a plug for the importance of having specialized meetings that speak to specific challenges, i.e., having brain injury support group meetings versus, for example, having strict mental health support group meetings, because inevitably, when I'm in these meetings, there is such a lack of, getting it. A lot of times I feel that I invest a lot of energy attempting to justify and explain and validate and really go on record almost representing the brain injury community and taking one, public education opportunities to enlighten people and to educate people when I'm really there for support and I'm not always in the best of shape, which is why I ventured out to begin with to receive support. But very exhausting. It's very exhausting. And I feel so relieved and a sense of camaraderie when I'm in the brain injury support meetings because generally speaking, people do get it. I mean, a lot of times I'm in groups where I may be one of the only ones who has my brand of challenges, but there still is compassion and understanding. Generally speaking, not always, because I've had some challenges within the brain injury community as well, but by and large, there's a big difference, and there's such a need for our community to have a place in the sea of support groups. And so I'm just grateful to have that within my own community, within my town. And I think for those who happen to listen in the archives, I just wanted to mention that it's really important to seek out alternative groups. If there aren't groups in your area, then, this is certainly a place to come where you can receive support and give support online and in the brain injury support network as well, because mm-hmm. I've been to numerous support groups and it takes a while to find a fit that feels comfortable for you, because every group has its own culture, and not everyone is proactively seeking solution-oriented living. They're really not, and for
absolutely.
Someone to really
read
the drum about that, it can be quite the irritant for persons who want to commiserate about what's not working and how they're just kind of plugging along in their lives. So I tend to be that type of person in the groups where I'm not attending them any longer, however, feeling like the odd woman out because I'm looking around like, don't you guys want a better life? I mean, seriously, it's out there for us to have. Why are you just content feeling like you're living a subpar existence without at least striving for better?
Right.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Each group has a personality like each individual does, and you really, and you're right, speaking to the audience.
Can I share something
you
related
really,
to that?
I'll just finish my sentence. All I was going to say is that it's really important to not just go once and judge it on that and never go back, because like Allie alluded to, if you go to enough support groups, you'll find one where you feel like you do fit, and support just really helps you recover a lot quicker because you have that empathy and that understanding. Okay, Les Paul.
I'm sorry, I got a piece of candy in my mouth. It crunched. there's the peer support model, or peer-to-peer support, however you want to say it, and there's the medical model. And you described, Allie, that some of the problems with some support groups is you walk in and they look at you like you're a medical model instead of a human being. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of my experiences in over the years, and that's why I was asked to start a support group when my supervisor said, "Les Paul, if you're tired of people not having a support group that understands, go start one." And that's how we did it. Like the one I was at tonight. It has some structure. We sometimes have a professional guest speaker come in. And it's all about the coup, contra coup, injuries of the brain, all kinds of types of brain injuries. But then again, one night we'll have karaoke and we'll have fantasy night. It's different every time. And we'll have someone come into the community and talk about how you can find maybe work and life skills classes to help you better yourself. And so I think where the TBI survivor is leading the group actually helps. No one knows better about a TBI than a TBI survivor. I mean, doctors definitely need that, and they're wonderful for the most part, but they need to hear from the peer-to-peer role model of the survivor so they understand that, I mean, your voice, all of the voices on here, you have power in your voice because you're speaking from experience.
You really sounded broken up, Les.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
up.
I hear that. I hear that, but I'm standing in my place.
Are you by the TV antenna?
No. I'm on my cell phone, but I'm in the house.
Okay, you sound better. I thought you just went through a wind tunnel. I think that's really important. That's what we've been talking about tonight. Just a lot of things. Support, empathy, Thanksgiving, camaraderie, and a time to stick close to our support networks during this time of change of year. Because we've got to know up ahead that this is a challenging time for even the quote-unquote normies. So for us, it's even a more challenging time. And the more we can be to be proactive, the worse it's going to, you know, the least it's going to sting and cause us grief as we change into the new season and the bustle of the holidays. So stick close to those support groups. If you don't have an organized support group in your area, start coming to Brain Injury Radio regularly or listening in the archive to the hundreds of shows we have now, or call in to the 4peer11.org. That's a peer-to-peer phone support line. And if all of that fails, maybe get involved in a little church group, maybe a therapy group. I'm not saying that's a replacement because they don't know exactly what we're going through, but it's a very important time to not be alone and isolated in your own head.
That's very true. And if I may add to that, Kim, what I'm starting to learn and realize and remember, because it's not that I don't know it, but there's an aspect of forgetting that I knew that and remembering that I had made a point to remember it before, but somehow it slipped out of my brain. But choosing your battles, you know, and conserving
yes.
your cognitive energy, because you mentioned brain bucks the other day. That term really resonated with me.
It does.
I think we have to be good stewards of the brain bucks that we have in our possession, and I think we can really kind of squander our currency when we're casting our pearls before swine, and or when we are upside down with the ROI factor, like the return on investment. You know, we can kind of dig our heels in and make a great argument, but almost lose the war trying to win the battle. Not that we're right fighting or anything like that, but just if we can get caught up, I know I do sometimes, get caught up in an impassioned discussion, I'm spent cognitively and have to really sit on that charger for a while to recharge my batteries because it drains me so. But going in, the shiny ball syndrome got a hold of me more than my ability to reflect on, is this worth my energy? Is this a good use of my time? Is this a good use of my faculties and my overall resources? And a lot of times it's not. And so I think that takes awareness and insight, and a lot of mindfulness too, because it's not hard to get caught up.
I agree. I agree completely. Well, okay, you guys, we're at the bottom of the hour. They'll be cutting us off soon. I want to thank you both for being here. Tomorrow night, I believe, is Kevin's show, and Keith Anthony Saturday night, Matt Duffin on Sunday. So have a good weekend, and I want to wish you all a good night. Maybe we can get a good night's sleep tonight. And I'll close in the usual way with something I believe we all have, and that's a guardian angel. Good night, everybody, and thanks for listening.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Little baby up in heaven, says to God,
night, listeners. Have a great weekend.